You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
Amazing. Away in the Manger is just a timeless carol, right? It's beautiful lullaby. Kind of start to feel a little bit sleepy as you sing it. It's just one of those. It's very good. But definitely reminds me of primary school. It's like the ultimate primary school carol. Unfortunately, I have a little bit of trauma related to primary school and the nativity. Everybody in this room surely has had some involvement in a nativity at school? Yes? Okay. If you were Joseph, put your hand up. If you got to be Joseph. Anybody get to be Mary? Give me a wave. Anybody get to be angels? Yes. Shepherds. Yes, let's go, boys. Female shepherds are also available. You got to be Jesus? Anybody else get to be Jesus? Yes. How did you fit in the manger? Anyway, my trauma comes from this because I was desperate to be Joseph. Okay, that is like the ultimate man card when you're in your 5 and your 6 to be Joseph in the school nativity. And I mean, I don't want to brag, but I was the best singer in my class, just saying. Independent polls verify it. And I was ready, but you don't get to be Joseph until you're in year 6. So in year 5, I was watching and I was like, this is gonna be, it's coming. I was like rehearsing the lines all year, and it came round to my turn. We're gonna do nativity in year 6, and I am going to be Joseph until something terrible happened. Peter Hayes in my class grew a beard. How can you compete with an actual beard? I don't know how. I tried to pull it off and make sure it wasn't fake, but he had these whiskers on his chin in year 6. I was like, how has he done that? He must be taking some supplements or something. And so my big moment came and they gave it to Peter Hayes. I was devastated. But to try and placate me and make me feel better about it, they said, oh, you're such a good singer. You can just lead the choir instead and you can be in the choir. So I didn't even get to be a character in year 6. My moment. And it was ruined by Peter Hayes' beard. I'm okay. I've let it go. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. But I knew that I would do it better myself. Peter Hayes could not sing, and he stood there like a cardboard cutout. No character, no depth. Just a beard, which trumps all of that. So I was like, fine, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to do my own nativity at lunchtime. And those that really appreciate true art will come, and we will perform. Yeah, I didn't quite go to plan. Didn't really think through tickets. And to be honest, those that did come, don't think they were supporting me in this. I think they were there for a laugh. But I don't know if you feel like that sometimes, that, do you know what? I could do a better job myself. When you look at just teachers, just think about people's feelings. When you pick who's Joseph, okay? Don't just go with the obvious beard thing. Look for character depth. But you might think, oh, you know, I could do that better myself. If I was doing it, I'd do a better job. I don't know if you think about the country and the prime minister and the job that he's doing. There's plenty of people giving their rhetoric of they could do a better job if they were in charge. I know if it was up to me, then there would be no taxes whatsoever. Anybody? Right. Maybe it's a little bit harder than just saying, I'll do it, no taxes. I don't know. Or maybe your football team. There's plenty of people with their opinion. Don't want to say which ones. We're not referring to any of them. Maybe the England football team. We have a disaster of too much wealth of talent in the number 10 slot. What would you do? Well, if I was in charge, I know exactly what I would do. But it's not always that straightforward, is it? When you think, I could do a better job. But we're actually in a preaching series through December about some carols. And as you can imagine, the one that we're talking about today is Away in a Manger. And it's a beautiful lullaby that allows us to drift off, as I said. But I want to pull out three things from this carol that I've looked at and thought, if I was doing it, I would have done it different. But thank you, Jesus, that I wasn't in charge of God's awesome rescue plan. But actually, he knew better than I did. And so just looking at some of the lyrics in there, the first thing that we can learn from Away in a Manger is that if it was up to me, I would have chosen comfort and maybe a little bit of glamour to enter the world as the hero of all mankind. I mean, at least a blanket, if not a hospital, a hotel room, a palace. But Jesus chose service. He chose to serve humankind and not come for all the trappings and the recognition, but it's a much bigger picture than just that immediate moment of comfort and what was appropriate then, but actually he came to serve the big picture and serve mankind. Anybody glad that Jesus came to serve mankind? Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. Philippians 2, 5 to 8 kind of shares the meaning behind this. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. The Jewish people at the time were looking for a savior. The Romans were oppressing them, and they had been in conflict, and a Messiah had been promised. And even so much that King Herod at the time was trying to execute babies across the nation to avoid this hero, this Messiah coming to pass. And yet, what came was a baby in a manger. Like, why did it come like that? See, Jesus wasn't who they expected, but he was who was prophesied. Throughout the Old Testament, there's all kinds of references to the coming Savior. And so some of them didn't notice when he came because they were looking for a hero. But Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isn't it amazing that Jesus chose the time to come when babies were at risk? Have you ever thought about God, creator of the universe, veiling himself in a baby that needed changing and feeding? Being so vulnerable to put himself in the hands of someone else and requiring them to look after him. I thought, why did Jesus do that? Why did Jesus come like that? Why did God choose that as part of his awesome rescue plan? There's a great theologian called J.L. Packer that says these words, the Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless human baby, needing to be fed and changed and taught to talk like any other child. The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. But why was he born in a stable, not in a palace? If Jesus had been born in a palace and lived a privileged life, Would you really feel like he could understand the heartaches and the struggles that we go through every day? So the reason he came in a manger was not for himself, but for me, for you. And so when we go through struggles and difficult times, he can know exactly what it's like to have walked in those difficult seasons and the difficult paths so that he can relate to us. From all eternity, his home had been heaven, surrounded by all the glory and power that was rightfully his. But then he willingly left that behind and came down to share our lives on this earth. He knows what it's like to not meet expectations. He knows what it's like to go without. He knows what it's like to be rejected. And so as he communicates to us and wants to have relationship with us, it's from a position of knowing what that's like. Matthew 20, 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many. Wow. If it was up to me, I'd be in the palace. But thank God that he chose to come in service to all mankind. Another thing from the carol, if it was up to me, I'd have kept my distance from the mess. But Jesus chose to actually be with us. I mean, the stable was, it was messy, it was dirty, there was smelly, and for us as humans, naturally our tendency is to avoid the mess. Just go into one of my kids' bedrooms and you will find that we avoid the mess, and hopefully if we leave it there long enough, it will take care of itself. Don't know if you have a pile on top of the dishwasher, even though there's space in the dishwasher, we just make a pile there and avoid it as much as we can, and it, you know, the dishwasher fairy comes and it all gets magically done. But our tendency is to avoid the mess, to look the other way, to take the easy path. Even Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan when there was a hurting and broken person on the floor that had been beaten and left. The humans of that time, the people that should have been the ones to show love, actually crossed over the street and avoided the mess. But Jesus exemplified this in that parable and also in the manger, that Jesus came down to be in the mess. He didn't want to fix us from a distance and send us an email with a few suggestions of how we could sort ourselves out. But actually, he came and lived as a human among us, in the mess, in the stable, around sinners. But he lived a perfect life. He resisted temptation. He knows what it's like to be tempted to sin and be selfish and to put our own needs ahead of everyone else. But instead of avoiding that mess, he came and got in the mess. The good thing about that is it means that we don't have to be all sorted out. He's actually totally comfortable with our mess. He doesn't want us to clean up and, all right, come on, let's get everything perfect and ready and tidy away the mess before we can come into contact with God. He's not afraid of your mess. He's not afraid of your mistakes. He's not afraid of your thought patterns that loop around in fear and anxiety, but in fact, he wants to be with you in the mess, just like Jesus was in the manger. Isn't that amazing? God so loved the world, right? That he gave his only son. It's love that moved him to send his son to be with us in the mess, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. I love it. Jesus came as he did so we can come as we are. You know, shame is not from God. We don't have to carry shame. Jesus wants to be with us in the mess, put shame aside. And by accepting the forgiveness of Jesus, you can have freedom from fear and anxiety. You can have freedom and joy and peace. I love it. The third thing that we can draw from this carol that helps us, and if it was up to me, I'd have probably just started again. I don't know whether you get to that stage in your art and crafts like me. Play-Doh, I love the thought of it, and I think that I should be able to make all kinds of intricate things, and it kind of all ends up like a worm. Supposed to be a giraffe, but it looks like a worm. And then you get frustrated and you just kind of screw it all back up again and let's start again. The lyrics say, "And fit us for heaven to live with thee there." How amazing that in our mess, he doesn't write us off. He doesn't say, too far gone. Let's create a new species. But he loved us enough to come in our mess and actually rescue us. You know, Jesus was placed in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloth. And when the shepherds came to see that sight, the angels told them, "You're going to find him wrapped in swaddling cloth in a manger." And we believe that the shepherds were used to this image because when they would sacrifice lambs at the temple, they would be spotless, unblemished, that would be fit for sacrifice. And so when they had a baby lamb that was spotless, they would want to protect it and keep it safe, ready for the sacrifice. So they would often wrap that spotless lamb in swaddling cloth and place it in the manger for protection. So when the shepherds came, they weren't shocked of like, "Oh, what's going on here?" No, no, no. They recognized the symbolism of Jesus being wrapped in swaddling cloth in the manger, the sacrificial lamb. If you're unsure of where the story connects, baby Jesus didn't stay baby Jesus, but he grew to be a man. And we celebrate this at Easter, where Jesus died on the cross as a sacrifice to pay the price for our sin. The sacrificial lamb that takes the punishment for our sin. John 1:29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Aren't you glad it's not up to us to save ourselves? I know that you're glad it's not up to me to save all of humankind. But the simplicity of this carol and the simplicity of this message is that Jesus invites us in. And we have the opportunity to invite him into our lives and our situations. And so the truth is that there's things that are going on in our life where we feel that stretch and the panic and the worry about how we're going to sort this through. And right now, maybe there's a situation in your life that you're struggling to find breakthrough in, struggling to move forward, struggling to find an answer. And I just think this morning, we should invite Jesus in. Invite Jesus into your situations. He's not going to force his way in. But as we acknowledge that his way is maybe better than ours, and if it was up to us, we'd keep on making a mess and just have to try harder. But when we invite Jesus in, everything changes. In fact, we're going to sing the last part of the carol again. That's Lynn Marie to sing it for us. And I just want you right now where you are, maybe just close your eyes, and we're just going to sing the end of the carol again and invite Jesus in. And I want you to think of maybe something in your life, a situation where you want God to intervene and come and help you in this situation. And maybe you can just pray about that as we just sing these few lines of the carol.
Oh, spy me forever and love me, I pray, bless all.
Jesus, thank you that you came into the mess to save us from our sins. And right now, Jesus, we invite you into our life, into our situations. The things that we're worried about, the things that are playing in our mind, the things that seem impossible, we invite you in. We're so glad that it's not just up to ourselves, but actually you want to be in the mess with us. You want to bring us peace and joy and contentment. And we invite you in. God, we think of every household represented here, those households represented online. We pray and invite you into our households. Bring peace into our families, into our work situations. Thank you that we're not on our own. You didn't stay distant, but you want to be involved in our situations. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's a little bit more than just being invited into our situations as well. Jesus wants to be invited into your heart. We use that terminology in Audacious Kids about asking Jesus into our heart. Obviously, we're not talking about our physical muscle that pumps blood around our body, but we're talking about inviting Jesus into your life. And the amazing thing that Jesus did when he was born in our mess and grew up and died to take the punishment for our sin means that we can accept that free gift of forgiveness. How amazing. We don't have to do anything. You don't have to be anything. You just have to say yes. You go from living life on your own, your way. The Bible calls it repentance when we turn from that and live our life God's way. And I just want to give an opportunity now for anybody in the room that would like to say yes to Jesus, to say yes to turning from living this way and living God's way. Maybe if you could just close your eyes and bow your heads across the room, just to give us a bit of concentration. You might be here and you're like, I just thought it was religion. But actually, it's real and it's relevant and it's for you. So I'm going to say a prayer in a moment, and I'd love to include you in that prayer where you can say yes to Jesus and invite him into your heart. If you'd like to be included in that prayer, I'm just going to ask you to stick your hand up in the air and we're all going to pray together. So if that's you and you'd like to be included in this prayer, then just stick your hand up in the air and then I know who that we're praying for. Thank you. Thank you at the back. Amazing. Yeah, just stick your hand up. I'd love to include you in this prayer. You may still have questions. You may not be sure about a few things, but that's okay. We can handle questions. Jesus is comfortable with your mess. He wants to meet you in there and help you in your life. Anybody else, before I pray, just pop your hand in the air. That'd be amazing. Thank you. Brilliant. I'll just pop your hand down and we're going to pray together. We're all going to pray together. But if you're praying this for the first time, then I want you to mean it in your heart. Let's pray, church. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. Thank you that you came to earth as a baby. You lived a perfect life. And you died on the cross for my sin. I choose now to follow you. I'm turning from living life my way, and I choose to live life your way. Thank you for loving me. Amen. Amen. Amazing. Let's just give a round of applause to all those who made the choice for the first time. That's fantastic.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.